How's everybody doing? Good. Hey, I just want to go ahead and get this out of the way, a disclaimer to y'all. If you're a first-time guest today, don't base Rocky River Church, how you feel about Rocky River Church, on this sermon, okay? Pastor Jimmy's in Israel, so I'm filling in. So come back next week and hear a real preacher before you make your decision, okay? But like I said, I'm Jason. I'm the youth pastor here. Like I said, Jimmy's in Israel, and I'm filling in for him today. And I just want to welcome everybody here, and I want to talk to you today real quick about something that's been on my heart for a while to teach y'all. And I knew once I had a chance to teach, I would teach it. I teach this lesson to my students all the time, a lot, because they need to know about it. But I just felt like I should teach y'all. I'm calling it more of a life talk than a sermon. But it's all about making wise choices. We all have to make choices. Now, first of all, let me ask you this, and to be clear about something. If you ever look in Webster, y'all know who Webster is? The dictionary? Well, good, because I asked the students what Webster, who Webster? Who's Webster? We use Google. You know, I ain't talking about the little short actor. I'm talking about the dictionary, Webster. You know, if you look in Webster and you would look up the words bad choices, you're going to see my picture beside it. Okay? I made a lot of bad choices in my life. I've made every bad choice possible that you can even imagine. We all have to wake up every day and make some kind of choice. Every day we wake up, we have to make a choice. It can be small choices, like, what shoes am I going to wear? Should I wear my hair down or in a ponytail? Should I eat cereal or a biscuit for breakfast? Or should I go to lunch? Should I even go to work or school today? Those small choices that you have to make. But then again, we wake up, we have to make some large choices. Some choices we've been thinking about, some harder choices that we have to decide on what to do. Like, should I go into work this morning and tell my boss to stick it? And no, I ain't thinking about Jimmy when I say that, okay? Do not tell him. Okay, or should I continue that flirtatious relationship with that guy at work? Should I leave my wife and kids because I'm not happy and I'm not sure that I love them anymore? It could be choices like, should I go to church today because Jimmy's not going to be there? It could be choices like, should I end my life because I'm depressed and I don't know the answers and it's not getting any better? These are all big choices we have to make. Some of them, we don't have to make them drastic choices like that, but we all are faced with big choices every day. Think about how many different choices you have to make every day. And a survey ran, after running tests on humans' brain, one person averages 1,200 choices a day. It's a lot, ain't it? That's just the average person. An average person can make up to 700,000 decisions in a lifetime. Man, that's a lot of choices. We are faced with all kinds of choices in a day or a lifetime. And today I want to challenge you guys that every time you have to make a choice or decision, ask yourself one little question. Is this the wise thing to do? Before you make a choice, ask yourself, is this the wise thing to do? Now I'm going to give you three points today. They're in your message notes if you want to follow along. I didn't do the fill in the blanks, but you can still read them. But number one, we'll start with number one. Number one, don't make choices based on emotions. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, like I said a while ago, I made a lot of bad choices. Most of my bad choices I made has been based on emotions. When I was 19, this friend of mine I had lied to me or did something. Truthfully, I just can't remember what she's done now. But I got mad. I got mad. Now, when I got mad and I made a choice, I punched my car. My pretty little 91 RS Camaro. I loved that car. That was my baby at the time. Nobody came between me and my car. But I punched my car. Not only did I punch my car, I hit the hardest part of the car. That was dumb, wasn't it? I could have hit a window or something. Something that gave. But I hit the car. Not only did I put a dent in my pretty little Camaro, I snapped my hand in half. Or my bone right here in my hand. And I went to the doctor, and he said that he put a half cast on it and told me to leave it on there 6 to 8 weeks, and it will grow back right. Don't take it off. So I said, okay. So it was a little half cast, and I left it on there. Well, it was summertime, and all my friends was going to the lake, going to the pool, and going swimming and stuff. So I decided, instead of just sitting there, I was going to take the cast off, jump in the pool, and swim for a while, and put it back on when I was done. Well, I did that for a couple days. Then I had to go back to the doctor, and he took the cast off and checked it. And the bone grew back wrong, grew back crooked. So he had to go back in there. He said, we have to go back in there. We're going to have to take your bone and break it back in half and put a pin in your hand. And you have to wear full cast now for 8 weeks. All right, man. So I had my first surgery, and I had to go through surgery. Because of that one bad choice I made, instead of stopping and talking to the person about why I was upset, what they did was wrong, and handled it that way, I decided to punch a car. Because of that bad choice, I had to have surgery. I was out of work, so I about lost my job, about lost my pretty little red Camaro. Me and my mom had a bunch of differences, and we went our separate ways for a while. Wouldn't even talk to each other. I got addicted to pain medicine, all because of one bad choice I made. Just look at the consequences I had of just that one bad choice. You'll probably hear me say this a lot today, but every choice has a consequence, big or small. Just remember that. Every choice has a consequence. Choices made by emotions can usually end up hurting you and others now and also in the future. And I know some of y'all sitting here saying, not all emotions are bad. They're not. Not all emotions are bad. But think about it like this. Who in here has ever made a bad choice because they thought they loved somebody? So just don't make a choice based on your emotions. I've hurt a lot of people by my choices, my actions, and my words. Words can be just as bad as actions. When you're upset, you will have to make the choices with your words sometimes. You ever got mad at somebody and just started, and the next thing you know, they crying, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You ever been in that situation? Before you speak, ask yourself, is this the wise thing to do? Now, I'm a youth pastor. I'm a youth pastor, so I do things. I know y'all are grown and adults and stuff, but I like to demonstrate stuff. Can I demonstrate something for y'all? Okay. A buddy of mine taught me this. Tube of toothpaste. Okay? This tube of toothpaste represents you. That's you. Close up. Your name's close up. Okay? This right here, the opening. That's your mouth. The toothpaste inside represents your words. Okay? This represents somebody else in your life that you love and care about. You get mad at them, and you start saying some things that you just can't take back. Here's your words. Goes all over them. That's a lot of toothpaste. There's your words all over that person. They're thinking about these words. Now, the thing about it is you can ask for forgiveness. And you can say, I'm sorry. I take them words back. They're probably going to forgive you. But here's the thing. You can take all them words away. Should have got some sturdier plates. You can take them words away. Look. You can wipe them away, but look, it still stains the plate. See where I'm going with this? Words hurt people. Words stains people. They don't forget that. Now, I don't have to get a degree or to be a doctor to tell you this. By the way, I'm not a doctor. But I don't have to be to tell you this, that words are mental abuse. And sometimes, and in most times, words can be more damaging than physical abuse. I've been beat up and beat down by anything that you can think of in life, physically. But I'm here, and I think about it now, and I laugh about it. But I can tell you the exact time, exact day, that somebody that I cared about told me I was useless. That I never amount to anything. I don't forget that. It stained me for the rest of my life. Even though if I forgave him, it would stain me. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. So every time you make a choice with actions or words, stop and ask yourself, is this the wise thing to do? Now, I ask my students a lot when I talk to them. I ask them what they would do in certain situations. I'd be like, okay, what would you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? When middle school, every Sunday morning back there, I have a student. I don't think she's here today, but I'm going to embarrass her anyway. But she, when I asked her a question, she gives me the same answer every time. No matter what the situation is, I asked her. I was like, Emily Grace, what would you do? This is what she says. She gives me the same answer. What would Jesus do? WWJD, you remember the bracelets, the t-shirts? I mean, in the 90s, it was so popular. You know what? She's right. When we make a choice, ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What's funny about that is I tell the students and teenagers, I talk to them all the time, and you know what? Who in here has a teenage kid? Man, do they not just think they got it all figured out? They know everything about life. There you go. They think they know everything about life, the Bible. They can tell you what you're doing wrong, and they do know wrong. I was talking to a student one time. He came to me about some advice. So he was talking to me, and he was talking to me about some alcohol. He was talking about alcohol. I said, all right, let's talk about it. Well, he went to a party after a football game, and there's a lot of alcohol there. And he was debating on drinking, you know, high school. And the people there was picking on him and nagging him because he wouldn't drink. So he chose to, he says, I'm just going to drink just because, so they leave me alone. So he drank. And I just told him. I said, you know, that's not the wise thing to do. That's not the right thing to do. And then I used Emily Grace's line on him. I said, what would Jesus do? You know what his response was? Well, Jesus went to a party one time and they ran out of wine, so he turned the water into wine, so I know he likes wine. So he's got it all figured out. He said, he performed the greatest miracle in the Bible. I said, really? I mean, not that he raised people from the dead or he healed the sick or this or that. He turned water into wine. That's the greatest miracle in the Bible. So they have a different outlook than we do. Maybe one day they'll grow out of it, but if you haven't raised a teenager yet, I got two teenage boys. They know everything. You'll learn that. They'll make your choices for you. Just ask them. But every time you make a decision, ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? Let's go to point number two. Don't be scared to make choices because of fear. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his step." Now, over the summer, this past summer, my wife Stacy was she was working at a job, and she didn't like the job no more. You know, she was content, but she wanted to grow, and she couldn't grow there. She wanted to expand. So she started looking for another job and just asking around. With this other company offered her a job. Now, it's the same thing that she did at the other job, but it's a different company. And she wasn't sure. She wasn't sure if she should make the change. We talked about it. She talked to me about it. We talked to other people about it. We just couldn't make, she couldn't make the choice. She was scared. Now, I don't know if she feared change, you know, the unknown, but she was scared to make the choice. She prayed and prayed, and finally she decided, like in September, to take the new job. I mean, this job was totally, she'd had to start off from the beginning, as she done worked 6 or 7 years at the other job to get where she's at. She'd had to start at the beginning, take a pay cut, and all that stuff. She just was ready to change. But she wasn't sure. She was scared. But this is what the point of it is. Stacy took that job, and to this day, something goes wrong and she doubts herself. I should have just stayed at my other job. Everything was fine. I shouldn't have did this. But every time she does, God reminds her why she changed. God will open a door when she thinks one's shut at her new job and let her know that she made the wise choice. Stacy had to step out on faith. Sometimes when we got to make a choice in life, whether big or small, we got to step out on faith and let God help us with the answer. Another thing about making choices based on fear is sometimes we let other people make the choices for us, don't we? We don't make the choice. So we let other people make the choice. I read last night somewhere that not making a choice is a choice. Not making a choice is a choice. So we get scared, so we don't make a choice, so we let other people make choice for it. Have you ever heard of a guy named Ronald Reagan? He was like president in the 80s. I was a kid. I didn't know much about politics, and I still don't. But some say, my parents say anyway, that he, of our generation, he was probably the best president of our generation. Oh, somebody said he was. Okay. So my parents liked him, so I had to like him. My dad made me like him because before he was president, he was a cowboy. So he made me watch him on Saturday morning, so you had to like him. But Ronald Reagan, when he was a little kid, he needed a new pair of shoes. This is a true story. He needed a new pair of shoes. Now, back then, when he was growing up, they didn't have a Nike outlet store, a Foot Locker, a Hibbett, Amazon Prime. They had to go somewhere, and they had to make their shoes. So his aunt took him to the shoe store, made him some shoes, was going to get him some shoes made, and the shoemaker said, "What kind of shoes you want, Ronald?" He said, I don't know. I don't care. He said, "Well, do you want the round-toed or the square-toed?" And Ronald said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Go home, come back in a couple days, and decide, and we'll make you some shoes." Well, he did. And a couple days later, the shoemaker seen Ronald on the street playing, so he asked him, he said, "Hey, have you decided what shoes you want?" And Ronald said, "No, not really." So he said, "Okay. Tell you what, come back tomorrow, and I'll have you some shoes." So Ronald went back, and he said, "Yes." So he went back, and when Ronald got the shoes, one was rounded, one was squared. He couldn't choose, so the shoemaker chose for him. Now, later on in his life, Ronald, in a book or somewhere, he said he kept that pair of shoes, still had that pair of shoes to remind him if he didn't make a choice, somebody was going to make the choice for him. That's just like us. Sometimes I don't want to make a choice. But if I know I don't, somebody will. Think about it like this. Your wife's called. She's called you on the way home from work. She says, "Hey, I'm going to drive through McDonald's and get us some dinner. What you want?" "I don't care. She give me anything. Whatever." And when she gets home and hands you your food and you like open it up, and you're like, "I didn't want a Big Mac. I wanted chicken nuggets. You're supposed to know this." Hey, she asked. You didn't tell her. She got you what she wanted to get you. Now you got to eat it. It's the same thing like with Ronald. Somebody's going to make that decision for you if you don't make the decision. One other thing I would suggest for you to do is find yourself an accountability partner. In Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Find yourself an accountability partner. Go to them and ask them for advice when making a choice. Someone else can see the big picture. They can help you see things clearly. Think about it like this. A boxer. Mike Tyson or somebody, a boxer. I don't even know who boxes no more. But a boxer, he can go out there. He's good. He's fast. He's strong. He can throw one punch to knock somebody out. That's good. But you know what makes that boxer good? His corner man. His corner man can actually see the big picture. He can help the boxer see things clearly. He can tell what the other guy's going to do, where he's going to punch, when he's going to punch. Find yourself accountability partner. Now, I ask Stacy everything. She probably gets mad at me. Every time I got to make a big decision, I ask her first. She's my corner man. There's people sitting in here today that when I have a big decision to make, I have to go to and ask. I have to go to and ask, "Hey, what would you do?" And the reason I do that is because they may be in the same situation before in their life and they know what the consequences are. So find yourself an accountability partner. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." There's a big decision that I have to make by tomorrow. And last week, I pretty much made the decision. I was dead set on something. Didn't even consider the other part of it, the other option. I was dead set about to make the decision, and I decided right at the last minute to ask somebody else their advice. I went to Donnie and I went to Stacy. And they both sat down and they made me look at both options. They made me see, you know, put things in perspective. That it wasn't about me. I had to look at the big picture. Both of them was on the same page. I wasn't. But they made me see things clearly than I wouldn't see it. That's what accountability partners. Now, I still ain't made the decision. I got to tomorrow. I'll deal with that later. But they made me see things in different light. Make the decision, but ask somebody for their advice first. Talk to someone before you have to make the decision. Which leads me into point number three. Rely on God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path." Now, as Christ followers or Christians, we should and need to let God in every aspect of our lives, even our decision-making. We should let God in our decision-making. Life is full of choices and decisions, whether you are young or old, high school or your career. Your choices reflect your character. Why do decisions matter? Why do decisions you make matter? Andy Stanley, he's a pastor and author. He wrote in a book one time, "What I believe affects how I behave." You get that? What I believe affects how I behave. What you believe about God and the Word of God and how He calls us to live should affect on how we behave and should affect on how we make choices, should affect on how we treat people. Being a doer of the Word means what we believe becomes a lifestyle in our life. It should affect the way we live, should affect what we say, should affect what we post on Facebook, should affect how we treat people, should affect on what we look at it in private. All these things reflect on your relationship with Jesus. It's called obedience. Now, if you want to know if you're making wise choices and wise decisions in your life, look at the fruit of your life. Look at the fruit of your life if you want to decide, if you want to know if you're making wise choices. Why can't you give God your full life, especially decision making? Don't just give Him part of your life, give Him all of it, even choices. There's six questions I want to give you today that when you have to make a choice, you can ask. They're on the back of your message notes. But number one is, God, will you give me wisdom? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives him generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, God is the giver of wisdom, and He asks that we request it from Him. Number two, what do the Scriptures say? Now, God does not only ask us to pray through everything, but He has given us His Scriptures to make us wise, to live life in wise ways as we continue to pray. I tell the students, and I'll tell you, this right here is your playbook for life. I might have not known it when I had to make some choices when I was young, but every choice, every decision, everything you deal with in life is in this book, somehow, some way. So what does the Scripture say? It's in here. If you're dealing with anything, it's in here. Divorce, financial problems, it's in here. That's what it's written for. It's our playbook. Number three, which decision will glorify Jesus most in my life and the life of others? God is most glorified when we worship and live for Jesus. Number four, what will my decisions mean for my personal future and the future of others? Just as God has a will and plan of His own that directs the future, He has created us in His image so that we too should consider the outcome of our futures concerning the choices we make. This is a hard one. What do my authorities tell me? I admit, sometimes I have a problem with authorities. Well, I used to, like parents. But what do our authorities tell us? Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. Now, God has placed spiritual authorities in your life, and He has given them wisdom to help you. This could be people like your parents, your pastors, mentors, and other spiritual mature people that know Christ and His Word. Number six, the last one. God, will you tell me exactly what to do? Ask Him that. God, tell me exactly what to do. Now, God may not tell you exactly what to do in all situations. He's probably not going to tell you what color Pop-Tart to eat in the morning. But God will help you in most situations. Big situations, He'll help you. We should never shy away from asking God exactly what we should do in every situation of our lives. Look, like I told you earlier at the beginning, I'm the king of bad choices. I made a bunch. But your choices don't mean you have to suffer the rest of your life based on a bad choice. Learn from them. Some choices you make may help you when you have to make a similar choice later. Some choices remind you of stupid or dumb decisions you made and will remind you on how you have grown. When I was young, I made a very bad choice. I made a really bad choice. I was with a group of guys. I was early 20s, something like that. But we was in a group of guys, and we was in another state of mind, if you know what I'm saying. We wasn't right. I made a choice. I wanted a tattoo. I wanted a tattoo. And a guy was there. He wasn't really a buddy, but he was there. He wanted to be a tattoo artist. Y'all see where I'm going with this story? So, the story is, I wanted a tattoo, and he thought he knew how to do tattoos, and I wanted a tattoo so bad, so I said, hey, try on me. Well, okay, I always, always wanted a Superman tattoo. I thought I was Superman then. I think I'm Superman now. I want a Superman tattoo. So he drew it out, put it on my arm, traced it, started doing his tattoo thing. We was having a good time. I was so proud of my tattoo. I love my tattoo. I was so proud of it. Yes, I finally got the Superman tattoo. Man, I was so happy. Well, I got home, and the people I was living with, man, I came running in the house. Check this out. I got new tattoos. It's awesome, ain't it? They looked at me, and I knew their way their faces was, and their faces dropped. They were like, I was like, what? They said, it's backwards. Y'all laugh now. It wasn't funny then. I'm telling you, it was not funny then. I was like, no, it's not. I'm going to show you, okay? If you can't really see it, I'll show you after church or some other time. It's backwards. It's backwards, but looking at it like this is not backwards. Looking in the mirror, it's not backwards. I made a very bad choice and bad decision that night. But here's the thing. I went back to the guy, and he said he'd fix it for me after I threatened his life. But he was going to wait a couple weeks so it healed so he can work on it. Well, I went back in a couple weeks. He was in jail. So I didn't get my tattoo fixed. But I'm glad I didn't. My tattoo, I'm glad I kept my tattoo. Every morning I wake up, I look at that tattoo and it reminds me of the dumb choices I made. It reminds me of the person I used to be. It reminds me of who I am now and how I've grown. It reminds me never to make dumb choices. Well, what's the consequences of dumb choices? I will never get rid of this tattoo. I know some people say, well, you just go get it covered up or put something else over. I don't want to. I want it there to remind me of how I was. And another reason I want to keep it is because I guarantee it, there's nobody on this earth that has another tattoo like mine. It's original. I'm telling you, God is there for you and wants to help you make wise choices. Don't try to figure it out by yourself. Rely on God. Some of you sitting here today may be saying, I'm not sure God will help me make right choices. I don't even know if God's real. I don't know if he can even get me out of this mess I'm in because of my bad choices. Now, let me tell you something. He's real. I have proof that he's real. I have proof that he can get you out of every situation that you're in when it comes to making choices. I have proof he will help you make wise choices. You want me to tell you what the proof is? I'm standing here, ain't I? Now, if y'all know me, I like to get choked up sometimes. And I'm not kidding when I say this. Sometimes when I start getting choked up on Wednesday nights, and one of the students, James Britt, I start getting choked up, he'll yell out, "It's about to get real in here." So it's about to get real in here. I'm not kidding when I say this. I should be dead right now. I should be in prison or jail for the dumb, foolish decisions I made. But God had other plans for me. I'm thankful that I'm not. I'm thankful that I'm here. But God had other plans for me. So there's your proof. Thinking he's not real. To give me a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth chance. That's your proof. The proof is, people like Glenn sitting here. Jeff, Rick, they're sitting here. I'm sure, I hope they don't get mad for saying this, I'm sure they haven't made all right decisions in their life. But they're here. God gave them chance. I look out here and I look at the crowd. I don't know a lot of y'all personally in decisions y'all make, but I guarantee it, there's a lot of testimony in this room today. Bad choices. Where you are right now. We all made bad choices, but one day we had to realize, wake up and say, God, help me through this. God, I need your help. Tell you something else. God will help you. That bottle of whiskey you turn to is not going to help you make wise choices. Them drugs, that extramarital affair you're having, none of that stuff's going to help you make wise choices. God can, and God will. God can, and God will. I'm going to call the band up. And while the band's coming up, I just want to close and challenge you guys today with some things. When you're faced with a big decision, I just want you to ask yourself, God, or ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? Ask God for help. Some of y'all are probably, like me, got a big decision to make this week, next week, this month, this year. Don't make that decision just based on you. Ask God. Ask your accountability partner. Think before you just act on a choice because you think that's the right thing to do. Ask God. Some of you may be sitting in here today and thinking, really don't know what Jason's talking about. You know? Some of you may be saying, I've never accepted God or Christ in my heart, so I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe your first time. I'm going to tell you something. Of all the thousands of bad choices that I made, I got it right once. And you can too. You could ask God in your heart for the first time. That's the best, biggest choice you could ever make. You may be sitting there thinking, you need to make a choice of asking for forgiveness to God for sin that you are doing or something, a decision you made. You need to ask for forgiveness. You mean might need to make the choice of asking for forgiveness somebody else that's hurt you and you just don't want to do it. You need to make that choice to ask for forgiveness. There's all sorts of choices you may have this week. But I challenge you guys to pray, to look in the scriptures, to ask God, ask somebody to help you make wise choices. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And I want to pray. Just ask everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. Let's pray. God, we love you. We love you for just loving us. God, I just want to ask you today to bless the people here at Rocky River Church. God, I just want to ask you to help them make wise choices and wise decisions that they got to come up with this week or whenever. God, just be with them. Give them some guidance to help them help make wise choices. God, I want to thank you for forgiving me of the bad choices that I made. Thank you for forgiving everybody else here today that made bad choices, giving us a second or third chance. You're awesome, God. You have better plans for us than what we think. Thank you for not letting us hold our past and our bad choices hold us back from worshiping you and loving and living for you, God. And God, I want to lift up people today that come to church for the first time, and to Rocky River Church or church first time, and just said, God, I don't know you, but I want to know you. I want to know how to know you more. I want to know how to get to know you more. I want to just live like these guys are. I want to share my testimony. God, I just ask you to come in their heart and convict them today to turn their life over to you. God, I just want to lift Rocky River Church up to you right now. I want to lift our pastor up that's in Israel. I want to lift up everybody that's been in the hospital, and Donnie's dad, and everybody that's just struggling in the hospital and the sick and with the flus going around and everything. God, I just want to lift them up and ask for healing for them. God, we're so thankful that you love us. I want to ask that you keep everybody safe as they travel home today. God, just thank you for letting us be a part of you. We love you, and everything we do it for your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.